Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, I read again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. A jar full of wine, a sour wine, stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Here ends our reading. Jesus was at work for us throughout his entire life and ministry. Everything he did for us. We remember this each week through the words of the Creed and during Lent as we prayed the Great Litany, as we prayed by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And the church responds to this petition, help us, good Lord. Today our attention is rightly focused then on his very death, on the beloved and yet shameful cross. As we had been singing throughout Lent this hymn, O Love, How Deep, listen to verse 5. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death, for us he gave his dying breath. Imagine the scene in your mind's eye. Just think about that for a second. Imagine the scene where Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, is suspended by his hands, his nail-pierced hands, and his nail-pierced feet, hanging on a cross, dying the death that you and I deserve, saying with his last breath that wonderful word, tetelestai. It is finished in English. That completion, that finishing, that fulfillment was the pivotal point in the history of the world. It was at that point when God's divine plan for us and for our salvation came to its culmination. You remember back in Genesis 3, right? That the Messiah, the promised one, would crush the serpent's head. And here, the begotten Son of God, hanging on a cross, cries out, tetelestai, it is finished, at Skull Hill. Indeed, crushing the serpent's head. If, as we heard at the beginning of this sermon series that we had done throughout Lent, the essence of God's love is mercy, then this death and giving up of the Spirit is the greatest act of love that ever has been and ever can be. This love is not mere sentimentality. It is not a feeling that comes and goes, that passes with the whims of our emotions. This love in its truest form is agape. This selfless, unconditional love is wholly unlike any other love that the world has ever known. We get a glimpse of it from time to time, right? The love of a mother for her infant child, the bond of friendship between soldiers at war, the love of a husband and wife after 50 years or more of holy matrimony. All of these are images and echoes, if you will, of the love that Jesus has given and shown to us on the cross. Or as Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15. Why is it so difficult to imagine this self-giving love, this sacrifice of the ages? It might be because this sacrifice is foreign to us. We live in an age where sacrifice is passé, where the notion of giving something up is almost laughable. Why should I have to sacrifice any part of my life for you or for anyone else for that matter? That's what Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh want to preach each day. The notion of self-sacrifice for the sake of someone else was built into us at creation. God made us to live and to give ourselves for the good of the world and everyone around us. And yet we see how quickly it was lost after they ate of the fruit. And God said, "What have you done?" And Adam immediately says, "It's the woman you gave me." And she says, "It was the snake. No self-giving here. No falling on the sword. Nope, it's their fault." And when we lost that impulse to drive to be there for someone else, no matter what, we lost the very essence of what it means to be human and the very essence of what it means to be divine. Jesus, the one who is both God and man, both divine and human, brings us back together. He is the one who connects God and man as one. And that reconnection and reconciliation between God and man, well, it came at a terrible price. So it is that the very Word made flesh, who breathed life into all things in the beginning, that Jesus breathed His last breath. It was as if the world stopped and everything that was uncertain and unclear suddenly came into sharp focus. We can hardly imagine such a time, such a moment. But here it is right before our very eyes. John is giving us a wonderful glimpse, a wonderful eyewitness account. How will we meditate on this moment? Will we resolve to do better? Will we make God a promise that this time you really mean it? He knows that there is nothing we can do, nothing we can even offer Him that is even close to the worth of His holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. How did Peter put it? "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." 1 Peter 1. Dr. Luther reminds us why Jesus did all of this, as he writes in the small catechism, "That I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness." Jesus breathes His last on the cross so that you may be and live and serve. You are His own, His beloved, His precious ones. You live under Him, for He is the King who has died for you. Serve Him by serving your neighbor, not because you must, but because you are free from the shackles of sin and Satan and the fear of death forever. Because it's tetelestai, it's finished. This is the day when we commemorate our Lord's work to redeem us. And that work is finished. It is also the day we commemorate that He did it all for us. not for someone else, for us here, for us now, for us in this very place. So look around and see God's hand at work, giving life where there was none, giving hope where it was all but lost. For us, He gave His dying breath so that we might live forever with Him. It is most definitely, and thanks be to God, finished. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.